The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
With me on the line is Adam Voigt, and we're talking about this issue of indoctrination. And Adam, there's been a lot of commentators lately that have said that kids are being indoctrinated in schools, but your viewpoint is that that is in fact not the case.
In fact, I'm saying it's utter drivel, if we're really honest about it. I spent yesterday in a fabulous Victorian government primary school, and I can tell you there that the teachers are focused on implementing the curriculum. They're focused on helping their kids become decent citizens and teaching them stuff around everything from sportsmanship through to kindness. And they haven't got a moment in their day to be trying to squeeze in any sort of the level of indoctrination that some of these conservative commentators, as the word may be, are suggesting that they're doing. It's untrue, and it's really unfair on them.
What are the allegations? What are the suggestions that are being made by the commentators?
Well, I think the first one is that most of the time they're suggesting that there's some sort of socialist agenda at play when it comes to particularly government school educators, which is a well-worn tactic that's been used by commentators such as Kevin Donnelly, who's had the ear of every Conservative Prime Minister from Tony Abbott through to Scott Morrison. And this is a man who got out there yesterday in promoting his new book and the N-word that everyone will be familiar with three times in a public speech to emphasise how teachers are stopping kids from being able to speak freely and in the name of political correctness. It's wrong that Australian educators should be out there telling kids that that's an appropriate way to speak. Our teachers are out there trying to teach our kids an enormous curriculum, and at the same time they're trying to help parents to work to build respect in young people, and we shouldn't be allowing people like Donnelly to have influence over the way that our government schools are educating and shaping our young people.
How much politics do you think should be in the classroom?
I think very little, and I think most Australian teachers, when you speak to them, are really big on this. There's a mantra that pervades, and I hear a lot of school teachers say this to me, that they believe that their job fundamentally is to help kids learn how to think, not to teach them what to think. So there's a lot of critical questioning. Teachers are really aware that one of the skills that kids are going to need when they leave school is to be able to think critically, and they want to be able to help them to think for themselves. There's not the level of brainwashing that's happening that's being suggested. In fact, I would suggest that for most of these conservative commentators, the fact that they can't get any traction with their terrible ideas with young people is a problem with, one, the quality of the idea, and two, the way that they're selling it to young people. It is not the fault of government school teachers.
How do you think teachers should look to teach students on subjects such as climate change, these sorts of issues that are very heavily politically charged in Australia? Asylum seekers might be another one.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of topical issues that particularly in secondary schools our young people are trying to get their heads around. And we have a curriculum based around that's very knowledge-based. There's not a lot of work that's in there around these current issues. A lot of the issues that we have in our curriculum are sort of older, more factually proven issues. And then what we do is try and teach the kids about critical thinking. So we help the kids to be able to learn some of those skills, and then we put some of these issues in front of them. And I've seen some really lively and some really deep debates that explore both sides of issues like asylum seekers, like energy, like the environment, and it's been really rich and fascinating to watch. I don't mind which side the kids come out on. I care about our young people having skills they're going to need for a successful future.
How busy are teachers? I mean, we talk about the curriculum and all the issues that teachers have to cover off. Mm-hmm. Is it quite a crowded curriculum in your experience?
Yeah, I think that my best description of it at the moment, the curriculum, is probably that it's a mile wide and an inch deep. And I've heard rumblings around curriculum reviews that are particularly started in New South Wales, and I'm hoping that they cross the Murray and might find their way down our way as well, that we're looking to simplify the curriculum, and I think that would be a really wise move. We don't need more for our teachers to teach. They're already, the most common metaphor I hear for what it's like to be a teacher these days is that it's like spinning plates. You sort of run from 1,000 different priorities and give them all a second or two to try and keep them all up. We need to get really a lot clearer about what we want our schools to do. Really, it's two things, and this is something that our parents have wanted since day dot. They want to know that our kids have learned enough to be able to go and be successful and that they're effective learners. And secondly, they would love schools to work with them to turn them into decent citizens. And if we can focus back on that instead of crowding it with all of the things that we tend to when we say things like education is the answer to every single societal ill, then we can allow those teachers to get back into those key areas, because at the moment they're focusing on too many things, doing none of them well enough for us.
Are there any particular areas that really stand out at you as being particularly unnecessary or particularly time-consuming for less return than other areas of the curriculum?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that is absolutely proven is the administrative load that we place upon our teachers. So we have our teachers reporting, we have them marking tests, we have them administering tests, we have them, you know, writing lesson plans and making long-term plans. We have administrators at the moment. One of the studies that I saw recently was that the principals are spending approximately 0.44% of their time speaking with teachers about students. Now, that should be core business, but that represents 1/64th of their administrative load, the amount of time that they're spending on that. We've got to release them from that administrative load so they can get back to those two key imperatives around learning and around citizen building. And there are a lot of levers we can pull to try and get that done.
And just from what you were saying about the curriculum being different in New South Wales and Victoria, what do you think about having a national curriculum that's set in Canberra, or should each state have more control over what they cover?
Well, we do have a national curriculum. So we have a national curriculum that teachers refer to right across the country, but it's the application of it that can be a little bit state-by-state-wise. Mm. So different ways that different teaching authorities and different state governments, as we know, particularly in our government schools, they're state-administered, so they have different authorities and different support mechanisms for helping schools to be able to get that done. I think uniformity can be a really useful thing for us to do when it comes to curriculum, but it's also about the application. So if we can get on the same page around, one, not using the curriculum to try and, you know, have arguments. I think in the last election there was an argument about, you know, how many times Labor Prime Ministers were mentioned compared to Liberal Prime Ministers in the curriculum. It's just superfluous nonsense. You know, we need to simplify the curriculum, bring it back to what we really would know that our young people are going to need, then put authoritative bodies in each state that are going to help them going to support schools rather than just hold them accountable to paperwork.
And finally, what's your advice to parents out there that are perhaps listening to this program? What would be your top tip for parents to make sure that the kids are getting the most out of their school education?
Yeah, I think one, it is just trust your local school. So it's your local school. I think that one of the things that sending your kids to your local school does is that it allows you to have more family time. You know, you cut down on your travel time, you cut down on your expenses. Where we've got parents working second and third jobs to try and put their kids through schools, you don't need to do it. Trust your local school, build a really great connection with them, and then work together for those things around working around helping your kid for life after school. If you can build a really healthy partnership with the school, life gets easier, your kid gets successful, they get happy, and everything's roses and sunshine.
Well, Adam, thanks for being on the program this morning. I appreciate it.
That's my pleasure, Mitchell.
Adam Voigt there, former principal and CEO of Real Schools, talking about the school curriculum.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.